Welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an online audio ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and Carson City United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at www.carsoncityumc.org, or you can visit my blog at www.thepulpiteer.com for more sermons, Bible studies, and writings.
Matthew 26, and I'm going to read verses 47 to 56. Matthew 26, 47 to 56. This is, by the way, right after Jesus had been praying in the garden, and he kept asking his disciples, three closest ones, kept asking them to stay awake and pray with him, and they kept falling asleep. Which, let's be honest, that'd be a little depressing, didn't it? There he is. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with, and with him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you're here to do." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword and drew it and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he'll at once send more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled which say it must happen this way?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple preaching and teaching. Did you not arrest me? But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Almighty and everlasting God, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And is this dimmed, Pat, like you had it before? Cool, thank you. So as I was reflecting on this time in our Lenten journey, I was reflecting on the turn that happened from Palm Sunday celebrations to betrayal and arrest and crucifixion, I started to wonder to myself, you know, where would I have been if I was following Jesus at the time? I imagine myself in the garden with him as the detachment of soldiers arrive, led by Judas the betrayer. There's different thoughts as to why exactly Judas decided to betray Jesus. Perhaps he got tired of waiting for Jesus to start the revolution, so he tried to force Jesus' hand. Or maybe he slowly, over time, gave himself over to evil and plotted against Jesus. Or maybe he's just greedy and saw an opportunity. Whatever the case may be, Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter, on the other hand, saw the crowd and he reacted. He acted as someone who knew a violent revolution was coming, and he was ready to defend Jesus. So he drew out his sword, disregarded and forgot everything that he had been taught up to that point in time, and he simply acted, cutting off a guy's ear. Jesus corrected him, which must have been embarrassing. And then Jesus put the man's ear back on. Peter's courage faltered, and then after that, after Jesus was taken, he ended up being distraught and confused, and he even denied that he knew who Jesus was. What a roller coaster of emotions Peter was. But it's the end of Matthew 27:56 that caught my attention. "Then all the disciples left him and fled." You see, if I'm honest with myself, I think that's what I would have done. I would have abandoned Jesus. I would have left him out of fear. I would have left in order to preserve my own life. I would have abandoned him. Abandon is a sad word, almost hopeless, desolate. In contemplating abandonment, I found a website of a Russian photographer who takes pictures of abandoned buildings and structures, mostly in and around Russia. These are the constructions of a Soviet Russia, abandoned in the midst of political upheaval and economic crises of the 1990s. Abandoned. To leave, to give up completely, to forsake, to desert. Abandoned buildings fall into disrepair. They steadily succumb to the march of time and wind, water and debris. Sun-faded, cracked paint whispers to us in a hushed voice, "No one cares for me anymore." Abandoned and lonely go hand in hand. I wonder what it's like for a soul to be abandoned. We get snapshots and images of this, don't we? Occasionally we hear of a child being abandoned, and it's particularly heart-wrenching. We wonder, how does this happen? What exactly is someone's situation that they would leave an innocent and powerless child exposed to the brutal realities of this world? Abandonment. And so it is with a heavy heart that I suggest to you that if I were there in the garden with Jesus when the soldiers came to arrest him, I would have been one of the ones who abandoned Jesus. Verse 56 says, "Then all the disciples left him and fled." Can you relate to that? The disciples left him and fled. When things get really tough, it's easy to leave him, isn't it? I mean, when there's great promises and you think that Jesus is going to give you the power or wealth or comfort, like on that Palm Sunday procession, then it's great to be with Jesus. Hey, he knows me, I'm with Jesus. But when things turn, it gets a little more difficult. When the plans you have for your life fall apart, when following Jesus means you might come in to harm yourself, means you might have to sacrifice, then it gets tough. See, the thing is that I think I would have abandoned Jesus if I had been with him back then, because I still do it today. Humans have a long history of abandoning God. Adam and Eve started it. Israel left him right after they were saved from slavery. Then the prophets spoke of Israel, God's people, chasing other gods and turning their back on Yahweh, their Lord. The prophet Hosea actually married a prostitute who continually abandoned him. God had him do this in order to live out a message of God's faithfulness in Israel's idolatry. See, we have a long history of abandoning God. In fact, Lent begins with a call to return to the Lord, and we wouldn't have to return if we hadn't left in the first place. Then all the disciples left him and fled. I wonder how Jesus must have felt. Have you ever been abandoned? Have you ever been left alone? There must have been quite a sense of rejection. I mean, think of these relationships he had built. Think of all the love that he poured into these guys. Then the reward he received was to be betrayed and abandoned by his closest friends. Isaiah 53 prophesies it this way. It says, "He was despised and rejected by others, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised and we held him of no account." It reminds me, the singer Rich Mullins did a beautiful song called "He Was a Man of No Reputation." It's a man of no reputation that talks about the rejection of Christ. Jesus' abandonment goes deeper, though. In Matthew 27, we read that as Jesus hung on the cross on that last Good Friday, the skies grew dark, and Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This prayer of Christ from the cross comes from the Psalm 22. The Psalms were like Jesus' prayer book, so he knew them intimately. So in the midst of his pain and abandonment, he cries out from them, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Are you familiar with that psalm? Listen to part of it. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. I'm a worm and not a human, scorned by others, despised by the people. All who see me mock at me. See, this was a cry from Jesus in the midst of his abandonment. My God, why have you forsaken me? He cried it out, and there he hung, and the skies darkened, and no help came. No help came. Abandoned. Jesus became the forsaken one that Psalm 22 spoke of. Jesus became the abandoned one. He was the one who was left out and despaired. He was the one on the outside looking in. He was rejected and cast away. Somehow Jesus took upon himself our abandonment, our brokenness, our sin that isolates us from God. He took that on himself and became the isolated one for us. Scriptures say that he became sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. I'm not sure exactly how, but somehow on that day 2,000 years ago, a great exchange happened. Jesus took our desolation upon himself, and he gave to us the right to be called children of God. So if you've ever been alone or abandoned, if you've ever been left out or left behind, if you've been rejected or despised or scorned or ignored, then know this. Jesus enters directly into that hurting and broken area of our experience and takes it upon his shoulders with him on the cross. And I want you to hear that again. If you've ever been rejected, if you've ever been despised, if you've ever been ignored, if you've ever been pushed aside, if you've ever felt that message of you are not enough, if you've ever felt on the outside looking in, hear this, Jesus enters right into that spot in your life and takes that upon his shoulders onto the cross. And on the cross of Jesus Christ, he takes that abandonment and he puts it to death. Jesus takes the hurt that I have caused him, that I've caused others. He takes my sin and the sins done to me, and he takes them on the cross. He became the abandoned one. That's not how the story finishes, though. Something miraculous happened in the early morning hours of that Sunday following Jesus' death. Something began to change in the very fabric of reality. In fact, we discover that Jesus was abandoned, that he became the abandoned one, in order to change abandonment forever. Somewhere deep in the desolate recesses of the land of the dead, somewhere in that darkness, a light began to shine. And it is right here that we discover that Jesus did not become abandoned as a punishment, but rather so that we would never have to be abandoned again. So we see this at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. I mean, imagine being one of the disciples. Imagine being one of the ones that we just read from Matthew 26, and you go two chapters ahead and you hear this last bit here. Imagine being one of the ones who had left him, or one of the ones who had abandoned him. And now, after the resurrection, Jesus comes to them. And imagine hearing these words that Jesus says at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. He says, "And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Did you hear that? Jesus, who was abandoned, comes back to his disciples and said, "I am with you when? Always. Always. Even to the end of the age." These are the last words of the Gospel of Matthew. This is the closing remark of the book. This is one thing that Jesus really wants you to get. Remember, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We may have abandoned Jesus, but he will never abandon us. He died for us so that we might not be left alone. He was rejected so that we could be accepted. He became the outcast so that we could become members of the family. So I began the meditation by saying that I'd been wondering what I would have done if I were with Jesus when he was arrested. And I can guess what I would have done, but the truth is I don't know. I do know this. I've turned my back on Jesus before, so it's very possible that's what I would have done then. But maybe not. It's hard to know what you'll do in a situation until you're in it. However, even though I may not be 100% sure of what my actions would have been, I do know for 100% certainty what Jesus did do and what he is still doing today. I may abandon Jesus at different times, but he will never leave me. Jesus will never leave me, and Jesus will never leave you. He will never leave you. God has not abandoned us. That's one of the very important things we ought to learn from the life of Jesus Christ. God will never leave us nor forsake us. You may feel that everyone else in the world has left you, but God has not, and God will not. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And so once again, we're invited this week to come and stay with Jesus for a while. We're invited to watch and remember the events of the Passion of Jesus Christ as given of himself on the cross for us. We're invited. It's like those words on where he's up with his disciples, and he's got Peter, James, and John, and they're up, and he says, "Stay with me a while. Stay with me a while and pray." That's our invitation this week in Holy Week. Jesus is inviting us, stay with me a while. Stay with me a while. To remember and to really try to hold on to the extent of God's love for us in Jesus Christ. And as we do that, as we go through this Holy Week, we're invited to realize that this self-giving love of Jesus happened so that we would not be abandoned, but instead so that we would be reconciled to God. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.